Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight, another night without no sound problem. That is good. I think that Odyssey may have fixed something because normally we have much more problems. How you doing, people of the regular chat? Welcome to a chill show tonight because not much is happening other than Timcast is claiming that that there's been a shooting at his studio. There's a 9mm bullet lodged in my kitchen now. I can't say I'm surprised this happened after the wave of doxing and threats made against us. Wow, it's getting hot for Tim. I of course object to violence against intellectuals and journalists, and I hope that everyone is doing good, and I hope that they find who did this. These random shooting sprees, you know, you see this in bad neighborhoods. But I'm pretty sure Tim lives very far from any bad neighborhood, and in fact, very far from anything. And so that would seem like a targeted thing. It seems to me that the Tim Pool studio is in, or I don't know, does he live in his studio? Because he says in my kitchen. So maybe his house, his personal house, may not be at the same position as his studio. What was shot? Was it the kitchen of the studio or the kitchen of the personal Tim Pool residence? I don't know. We don't know. That's all we got for now. This tweet by Tim Pool. End of the line, Joel says, Tim Pool is a gangster. Yes, well, how sad is it to have fled Chicago and to get stray bullets or... to get these shooting attempts on your house outside of Chicago. That is it's like evil is following Tim around. End of the line, Joel says, luckily he was wearing his bulletproof beanie. Perhaps he was. All right, there was a comment that people were discussing by Richard Spencer recently, who basically is leaving the idea of white identity. I think he had been mentioning this before, so it's not like a big surprise, but I think he's laying it out very clearly here in this Radix episode. So New Dawn on the Discord was kind enough to bring me the clip of the audio so that I can play it. Thank you so much, New Dawn. Let's listen to what he's saying and let's see what I think about it.
I think that the world needs to move beyond Abrahamic religion. And
so that's always been a Richard Spencer position, pretty much anti-Christianity. I don't think the world needs to move away from these. I think that we basically got a preview of what the world would look like under if it moved past the Abrahamic religions, and it's not good. It's progressivism. It's the elevation of liberalism as a religion to replace the status of religion in our lives. It is a negative effect on sexual behaviors, on heterosexuality. It is an attack on reproduction and a lowering of the birth rate. It is the slippery slope forward of a more and more leftist society. I think that all of these things are symptoms, either partly or fully, caused by the abandonment of religions. And so I don't think it's a good direction for society to go, to adopt this atheistic, secular view of the world, because when you are a secularist, and we've seen it with a lot of these early atheistic thinkers and militant atheists, they turn out to be too liberal for their own good, and we don't have a replacement philosophy that can truly take the place of religion and replace what religion was doing in our society. What religion was doing is increase birth rate, build communities, and form a social contract that that stabilizes society, among other places, in marriage. So I don't think we need or want to move away from these religions, although I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God, but let's face it, abandoning religion would ruin society.
And certainly the white race needs to move beyond Christianity. This is going to associate...
By what standard does it need to? An intellectual standard? A standard of scientific thinking, secularist thinking? As far as I'm concerned, I look at the birth rates in America, and I think there's a big future for Christianity.
Christianity. It's not going to really associate Christianity with, like, Hitler, but it's going to associate Christianity with just these fools.
Idiots. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, I think that by fools, Aries talking about the Kanye West, the crazies of religious speech, and those who may make some edgy connection with Adolf Hitler.
But also with like white racial politics, which like that strategically...
We're moved beyond white racial politics. Like,
now, do we need to move beyond racial white politics? I don't see why we would, in the sense of understanding... Of course, my position has never been an extremely white identitarian one. I've always been criticized back in 2017 for not being a white fascist enough. And so my position within white identity has always been a reasonable one, but I don't see why I would abandon it today, which is white people need to be conscious that they have political interest, that they form a special group with special needs and special everything, basically, special characteristics and special things that they can bring to society. White people need to understand that they form distinct societies, and that without them, society wouldn't look the way it is, and that some of the things that white people may want from a theoretical, ideological standpoint may be at their detriment when they implement this in a society that is not white. For instance, white people might think that having a generous state is a good idea, but they should understand that in the presence of other groups, this generous state will be subject to exploitation. And white people should understand this in their political decision-making. They should also understand this in their private lives, because it matters. It matters whether you're going to pair with a white person to reproduce. So these positions that I had in 2017, I don't see why I would abandon them now. To the contrary, I think that the lines have been drawn so clearly against white people in the way we are persecuted, in the way we are attacked on social media, in the way the regime is holding a double standard as far as hate speech against us goes. All of these things are worse today than they were in 2017. It's not like the opposite side of politics has understood any of our talking points. They have tried rejecting us from the public discourse. They literally told us, we don't want to hear what you have to say. We're not going to engage with your points. In fact, we're going to try ignoring that you exist, and we're going to push you to side alt tech platforms where we can be sure that we'll never hear what you have to say. That if that wasn't the reaction of the left to white identity, perhaps there would have been a dialogue, perhaps there would have been an improvement. But I don't see why someone would say in 2017 it makes sense to talk about white identity, and in 2022 it doesn't anymore.
You know, and I said this with Stardust. I mean, look, I will speak for myself, but I'm kind of speaking for everyone in this call. I mean, the white racial resentment politics, I don't think is going anywhere.
So resentment politics, of course, here Richard frames it as very negative. Now, Am I for resentment politics? Obviously, no. I mean, resentment has a pejorative connotation to it. But I think that what Richard is deeply saying is not that white resentment politics has no future. I think he's trying to say that white identity and white understanding and racial consciousness has no future in politics. If that is what he means, I oppose to it.
You know, I think race is real. I think race is biologically real. I don't deny any of this. But that kind of stuff, it's played out. You know, I mean.
Well, I don't think that a set of political ideologies that are useful and that make sense with respect to the truth, as Richard has basically just acknowledged, I don't think that this is subject to an analysis of, oh, it's in or it's out, it's a fad, or right now it's overdone. If you believe in these pillars of thought in any honest way, you will not give them up based on the waves of the social interest around them. You will hold to them whenever they're true and whenever you still believe in them. I don't see what Richard would... I mean, I cannot think of what else he means than he's saying it's not in fashion anymore, let's give it up. But, I mean, people who have been interested in a conception of ourselves as white Europeans and an awakening of this conception to in other people have never been following a fashion. There may have been some grifting in 2016, 2017, because it was getting really hot, this subject on the internet. But fundamentally, if you have subscribed to this sort of community, if you've engaged with them in an open manner against the hate of the left, you have basically bought a subscription to cancel culture. And so it's never been a fashionable thing. Even when it was at the peak of internet fashion, you wouldn't talk about these subjects around a barbecue with normies. It's never been a big ideological movement that would gather enormous support out there.
What else are we going to say about like race and immigration that we haven't already said?
Well, I don't think that an ideological movement must always have something new to say. An ideological movement must confront the world with novelty when it's needed, when the world needs that novelty. But otherwise, you don't want to abandon your principles when everything new has been said. To the contrary, you need to look back to the past, look what we've established. What have we established in the last few years? Well, there is a war against the racial consciousness of white Europeans. There is a war by the left for this idea not to enter the brains of anyone. There is a war for silencing the question of Jewish power, which constitutes an issue in our society. There is a force in society that tries to censor and hide the truths of race, which would be useful to white people. All of these things have been established across the years. What are we going to do? Are we going to say, okay, now that we've established these things, let's stop talking about it? No, a point remains valid as long as it's not been properly addressed by the other side. And sometimes your responsibility as an intellectual is to stick to a principle, even if the fashion goes off, even if you have the impression that it's less popular, less relevant, less novel, so that basically, eventually, your opposition is forced to address the problems that you've raised. I'm sorry, but the left has not addressed any of the problems that were raised by the right. From A, do we have the right to have probabilistic truths? Do we have the right to state that this group causes more crime? Do we have the right to state that this group has too much power? Do we have the right when it's the white people who have too much power, but not when it's the Jews? All of these questions are unaddressed, abandoned by the left. And what Richard Spencer is saying is, well, we've said it now. So let's stop talking about it. Let's stop what? Let's abandon the ideologies? No, Richard, I disagree.
It's over. Like, we need to move to a higher level.
Someone on Discord was quoting Richard with double quotes. He was saying, it's over, Richard Spencer 2022. We need to move beyond. There is nothing that keeps you from moving beyond, moving toward other things, talking about other subjects. You don't have to make an obsession of white identity, but there's no reason to abandon any of the principles we have agreed on and we have talked about. It seems that Richard here is talking about an abandonment.
And start talking about what Aryans can contribute to the world.
Well, even engaging in that discussion of what Aryans can contribute to the world is almost impossible in the current context, because it is by differentiation with other races that you will understand just the extent of the white people's contribution to society. If you cannot say that alternative peoples, other people, are different on standards of criminality, on standards of all sorts of other societal outcomes, you won't even be able to have that discussion of what is it that, in fact, the question is not so much what white people can contribute to the future. The question is, what is it that makes white society so desirable, and how in the hell would you want to undermine white society given its desirability for so many people out there? White sends $101. Thank you so much for the support. He says, JF, it's over. Time to go back to the grocery store. Is that your last super chat, White? Telling me I have to go place milk in the grocery store? You know what? I would do it. I would do it and I'd be happy. Although with my current CV, I don't know if I can be hired at a grocery store anymore. But the physical aspect of it, I would do it. I would enjoy it, let me tell you. Just placing milk, seeing, you know, touching the milk bag and just depositing it there, knowing that it's gonna be bought by someone, and putting so many during the day and hundreds of people just passing, taking the milk. I loved placing milk in grocery stores. White sends another super chat, which forms a guttural sentence with his last super chat. He sends $101 again. He says, yes, that was my last super chat. Wow. White has made a fractal of infinite contradiction. If I read his super chat, it says that his last super chat was his last super chat. But then I read this in a super chat, which is itself his last super chat, which makes his statement become false as I read it. Absolute brain, this white, just laying out the Gödel incompleteness theorem in the way he super chats.
And, you know, I think in a way, to give Nick credit, I think he himself has kind of moved beyond racism. And I think the racism was only an attempt to promote Christianity.
Now, isn't that fascinating? Richard Spencer, who once was complaining against the grifters. There was a time at which Richard Spencer was on my show, And he was giving the impression by what he was saying that, okay, there's these grifters out there. They're doing shy racism, shy engaging on the race subject to attract money and to attract fame, but they're not truly embedded in a racial consciousness conception of the world. That was the old Richard. Now Richard is basically complimenting Nick for doing the exact opposite. He's complimenting Nick for grifting, he once criticized Nick for being a grifter. And he's now complimenting Nick for being a grifter of the racial consciousness movement. Now, that is so interesting. First, I don't know, is it a contradiction of Richard Spencer? Or is it just that he has grown and changed his view? It's totally fine to change your view. But I'd like to interview him on this. I'd like to know what is happening here exactly. Now, as far as his analysis of Nick Fuentes, I think it's a correct analysis of what Nick Fuentes is doing. I think what's just incorrect is to say that that's the right way to go. Nick Fuentes has always been only shyly interested in bringing the subject of race, probably ultimately because he doesn't quite fit in a white racial conception of America, because one of the great demographic threats for demographic stability in America is exactly the kind of person that Nick is, which is a descendant of Mexican migrants. So I can understand why he's never been super warm to the idea. Nick has touched on the Jewish power question in a shy manner at first, and eventually fully dipping himself into it, more from a mimetic and edginess and provocation perspective. And as far as race realism, his statement has always been, yeah, you know, white people exist and it's true. And yeah, I think it's a desirable thing to be in a white society. But that could be, as I've often pointed out, that could be the statement of an African-American, like Jesse Lee Peterson. To think that a white society is desirable to live in is not to say that we should have racial consciousness as white people. DK Shadow says, Nick was just using the subject to pull an audience. He doesn't even believe in evolution. Yeah, that's the most hilarious thing, is that the question of a phylogenetic division within humanity is obviously tied to evolution. And ultimately, Nick is the kind of Christian guy who's so extreme about Christianity that he would have no problem denying the dinosaurs. I don't know that he does. Maybe I think I've heard something along the lines of, dinosaurs are a weird thing at some point. I think he just doesn't care about these subjects enough to confront the militant atheist view on this. But yeah, ultimately, Nick would have no problem denying evolution, I'm sure. Carlo Marxworth says, Nick has been a race realist forever, just views it from a Christian perspective of equality. Well, okay, that wouldn't be enough to explain it out, because from a Christian perspective of equality, but as a Christian, you may want the world to be equal, but the world may not be equal. In fact, the world is very much likely not equal.
Like, so many of these people, I mean, Mark has talked about this a lot. So many of these people, like, the TRS podcast, I mean, this is a small example, of course, but the TRS podcast about like the God cast or whatever, what they are seeing, they understand that Christianity is declining and that it's ultimately fading. And so they look to these.
I don't know that that's the case. I think that Christianity got hit hard. There was a lot of convincing of Christians to leave the faith, especially through young people, turning young people into secularist liberals. But I think that this will have, this will meet a brick wall evolutionarily, simply because the secularist liberals that come from Christianity are not making enough babies. So there, we are currently in a selection moment, and I think it won't be long before we see the backlash. The backlash being that if I have a family of three children, two of them veer for the secular liberal lifestyle, they make zero babies. One of them stays a Christian and he makes 10 babies. You're going to get an immediate effect in the next generation. So I think that we are in that moment where Christianity has the demographic momentum behind it with respect to atheism. And so we have to wait a couple of decades before we see the backlash. Turkey Gobbler says, Jeff, speaking of white people like GLP, did you see JLP on Dr. Phil? Two short and hilarious clips here. Yes, I've seen these clips.
Finding birthright.
We can watch them. You know, it's the usual pro-white trolling of JLP that the liberals really don't like. We're going to have a look at it, but Dino Logovic has sent a super chat. He says, JF, is there a connection between the human chromosomes fusing at 23 and 24, and the tilt of the Earth to the ecliptic plane at about 23.5 degrees. Not that I know, and I would tell you if there were, I would be extremely surprised if there was ever any link between these things. Because the 23 and 24th chromosomes in humans, and what is the 24th? Are you talking about an old chromosome that would have linked to the 23rd? Because there are 23 chromosomes in humans. So what is this 24th you're talking about? That is the first thing that I would like a clarification on. Are you talking about the chimpanzee chromosome that fused with number 2? Dino Logovic says XX and XY. Oh, you call XY the 24th? Anyways, I'm confused, but no matter what, let's never forget that the numbers of the chromosomes are totally arbitrary. They were chosen by human beings, so there's no reason why they would have a mathematical relationship with the physical universe. If you would like to support the show or ask any questions, use the regular chat on Odyssey or send a super chat using the dollar button. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Lawrence Forbes, and by the way, tonight is Ask Me Anything, so if any of you wants to have a live conversation, join me on the Discord server. The address is in the description below. And click on the waiting room. Whenever I see someone in the waiting room and I'm ready to talk, I will slide you in the JF Lounge. If you do want to appear on the show, make sure that you set up your microphone and earphones so that we can hear you right away when I bring you in. Lawrence Forbes has sent a super chat. He says, how many jabs did Richard get, and could they be responsible for his confused state of mind? I think that we have seen these things that Richard is talking about today. We have seen these things develop in him across the years. I think that, you know, I may have never talked about this, but when I was talking privately to Richard Spencer, he was annoyed. He was so, and I don't think I'm revealing any secret here. So just to be clear, I don't think that that I'm revealing something here that Richard would have wanted secret. But even back in the days, 2000, must have been 2017, end of 2017, 2018. Richard was annoyed. He was totally annoyed at the behavior of the white identity community on the internet. He hated the alt-right. In fact, there's not a point in the past where I remember a Richard who was enthusiastic about the alt-right. A lot of people have been attributing to him the word and the community, but the fact is he has always had this extremely negative reaction to it. He doesn't like things that aren't optical, and in a way he is so like Nick Fuentes in that sense, where I don't know why he engages in this cancel culture game with the media, if it is to then drop people under the bus and hate them. But Richard Spencer, as far as I can remember, has never been enthusiastic for the moment I knew him and I interviewed him. And speaking with him privately, he's always hated the way things veered in 2017, 2018. He didn't like it. I don't know what part of his discourse was meant to still surf on that wave, what part of his discourse did he feel obligated to state but didn't feel in full because he felt the crowd, he felt that he had to develop a view of his own personality as the ultimate evil of America. But in the end, he has always been complaining. He would talk to me minutes before the interview and he would be like, JF, I hate people of the alt-right. I hate everyone on Twitter. That is the Richard Spencer that I know. So when you ask me, is the vaccine having a bad effect on his brain? No, I don't think it's the vaccine. I think he's always had this coming. To be feeling separate from the alt-right, really. White sends $101. He says, JF, on last Friday's... JF, on last Friday's show, someone mentioned Quebecois foie gras. Well, you wrote foie gras, but it's foie gras. And how he hasn't been around for a long time. That made me think of the other names at the beginning of the show. Elia Logo Bizarre, Paul Zuck, Rosa Rourke, Rodi Le Cid, Repti Formica, and Strib Roman. Do these people still comment on the show? A lot of these people are gone, as far as I know. Rodi Le Cid is obviously here with us. But you're right. You're right. A lot of people have been going and coming along the years. And it's great to think about them. I'm sure they have found things to do in life that they love. And it's great that they were here to be captured forever in my intro video, because we use some of their chats to create the intro to my show. Amazing interview aired today. We need more white babies, Jesse D. Peterson says.
Not to have children.
We're not taking care of the people who are already here.
The procreation debate.
People that have the majority of the kids are the ones that shouldn't be having kids.
I'm grateful that I have the choice to be able to have as many children or as little children as I want.
We definitely need white babies. All these other races don't do nothing but destroy.
I think you've pretty much pissed off everybody. All new Dr. Phil. Check your local listings.
Oh my God. Yeah, that has been a classical routine of Jesse Lee Peterson.
Yes.
This kind of, he plays, is it what, I think black people have a name for it. A black man who abandons the black race and who is very white philic. I think there's a word for what JLP here is playing. I think he's doing it in a very provocative manner, which he knows. Uncle Tom, I think that is what they use as a term.
You're a pastor, right?
Yes.
And you're a radio host?
Yes.
Okay. And you said you believe white people should have more children?
We definitely need white babies. And I tremble at the idea that white babies, that the white group is going down in numbers, because if you lose white folks, America, it's over for America. Because if you notice, white people tend to be more innovative. They're more creative. They have ideas about things. All these other races don't do nothing but destroy. They don't build.
But
they
he's
destroy.
Wrong.
He's I said you'd piss off everybody. I was wrong. Now you pissed off everybody. You're a pastor, right?
Everyone making faces. Dr. Phil bridging to some other considerations. But no one, I mean, as far as those clips can show, no one arguing with him. Why don't you guys take him on the fact? We're going to see how it looks. Take him on the facts, show me the evidence that he's wrong, and I'd love to see this debate. We're limited into, I guess they're also limited on what they can say on cable TV. But like, if you think otherwise, go ahead and have a debate with GLP. What is it that he said that you think is wrong? What do you think you have in terms of facts that would put what he said in context better? Very interesting clips. Thanks for sending them. Indeed, very interesting. National File reports an interesting news, but I don't know what's happening there. Is it true? Is it even a true claim that was made? Anyways, normally I trust National File to do acceptable journalism standards. They claim that Milo Yiannopoulos claimed that Kanye West solicited him for sex. After the recent dinner Ye had with President Trump, so for those who didn't watch yesterday's show, Ye has been firing basically Milo, or they both agreed that they were separating because there was a conflict between Milo and Nick Fuentes about the direction that the campaign should take. And Nick Fuentes won, basically. Nick Fuentes won the respect of Kanye, and Kanye ended up perhaps creating a ultimatum situation in which he gave Milo the choice of bending to Nick's strategy or leaving. And it seems that they have agreed that he had to leave. Now, after the recent dinner Ye had with President Trump, in which he included Milo Yiannopoulos and Nick Fuentes, Milo admitted that he was working behind the scenes to hurt President Trump and make his life miserable, all the while remaining closely under MTG's wing, so Marjorie Taylor Greene, at least according to those familiar with the situation. He's also claimed that Ye attempted to have gay sex with him. The chances, Milo, that Kanye West tried to have gay sex with you are extremely low. Colin Oxworth says, who is he? Well, they're talking about Milo. The chances that Ye would want sex with Milo are very low. The chances that Milo here is spicing it up with some extra to create more provocation and to create more trouble, like he does in most places that he goes, are very high. I'm not fully convinced of what happened here, but Kanye West being secretly gay and trying to fuck Milo in the ass seems very unlikely to me. Now, the whole Marjorie Taylor Greene aspect of this was the main subject of this article. Marjorie Taylor Greene begged Milo to meet Kanye West to appear cool and get attention. Marjorie Taylor Greene has been playing half and half on the dissident side. She's been participating to conferences that included Nick Fuentes, but then denied her association with him and denounced him. And she then denounced other people, but apparently she wanted to meet Kanye a week before. But then Kanye started going more edgy and she backed out. Marjorie Taylor Greene has never been, she's been trying to meme on this tough right-wing position that's against the establishment of the Republican Party. But at the same time, she's been disavowing people, including Nick Fuentes, that I think makes me think she's not fully a dissident of the Republican Party. And I personally don't put much hope in her. But it's interesting to learn that perhaps there is a link here between Milo's conception of the Kanye campaign and where Kanye really wanted to go. Because if Milo wanted to do it truly about revenge, then that would have been the wrong direction. And I had detected this in a couple of episodes ago when I did the Ye leaving Timcast analysis. I had said, if it's true that Milo wants revenge and revenge against Trump, Kanye is not going to like this. I had said this, and I think it may be the ultimate reason why the trio broke here. Some random bloke sends me information. Just the way you describe it, I don't want to see it. I'm not even clicking on your link. I'm removing your super chat. This doesn't seem to qualify under the rules. And here on Odyssey, we follow the Odyssey rules. Orion sends a super chat. He says, is the stock-to-flow model still viable? That's an interesting question. I had abandoned this model in my head, kind of, because it had pointed to a 100K bull run and we didn't get it. So something is wrong about this model. Now, they're going to adjust the model and perhaps tell you. Anyways, I believed in that model. I made money believing that model. It's not dramatic that it didn't reach 100K. But it didn't reach it. So you have to disqualify the model and just say, still, you may not have made 14x, but you didn't make 10x, and that's good. You have to be happy about this. So that's how I approached the wrongness of the stock-to-flow model. It was wrong, but it sent us in the right direction. I don't know if they will have an updated version. Perhaps they will. I haven't looked into it for the next bull run. Again, I would approach it with the mentality of they may be wrong for the final number that Bitcoin will reach, but they are still obviously sending us in the right direction if they're telling us to buy Bitcoins. Makes total sense to buy Bitcoin in preparation for the next bull run. Not funny, dangerous, former Twitter censor justifies banning the Babylon Bee. Let's have a look at what he says.
Okay, Babylon Bee, which is what got him to buy the thing, I think.
That's the one which
was not particularly funny. The Babylon Bee's man of the year is Rachel Levine. Not funny.
Yeah, and you can ask
I didn't
her.
Agree they should have taken that down, but go ahead.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting to think about what the competing tensions around that are. And I want to start by acknowledging that the targeting and the victimization of the trans community on Twitter is very.
It's like you have a. What is this conference? Are there actually people interested in listening to this shit? Those are the people who control. Those are the people who banned me from Twitter. Yoel Roth, right there. Those are the people who take pleasure in finding justification to shut down speech.
Real very life-threatening and extraordinarily serious. We have seen from a number of Twitter accounts, including libs of TikTok notably, that there are orchestrated campaigns that particularly are singling out a group that is already particularly vulnerable within society. And so, yeah, not only...
But what are you going to do about it? You're going to isolate this group from public criticism? You're going to say you can't have an argument that you win against a trans person because some other people might annoy them after. And what about me? What about the danger I expose myself to when I say something on a debate that someone else doesn't like? No one cares about JF harassment. No one tries to minimize the harm toward me because I'm not trans, I'm not gay, I'm not black, I'm not anything they want. So why would you selectively apply a protection against the groups that you select? And that protection would not be concerning the direct violent actions that they can be targeted with, but would instead target the people who are arguing against those people. I see that White Rabbits Radio TV is on the regular chat. Good to see you, man. I'm following your Gab account. Really quality stuff. I really like the info I get. And in fact, you're constantly in my feed. When I refresh my feed in the morning and I look for the news, White Rabbits Radio is among. I think you are. Although I don't think you're called White Rabbits Radio, right? On Gab, you have some other nickname, but I'm pretty sure it's you. Well, thank you for being here. By the way, some random bloke has sent a super chat. He says, "Hey, JF, how do we get you on GLP? He has had some controversial guests like Kevin McDonald and Mark Collett before. Would be good to get you on." I've been on JLP. People who know old school JF will know that as a young man, walking around the internet, I have strayed toward the GLP podcast, and I have appeared. I talked about genetic editing, I talked about all sorts of things, and eventually I knew that it was the end of the interview, and Jesse D. Peterson had this hilarious series of questions at the end. He started saying, "Now, sir, we've talked about a lot of things, but I have one question. Do you love the Jews?" And I was like, "Well, it's a very complex question. I would say that there is a complex relationship between me and the Jews, in which I attempt to love them as much as possible." And he was like, "Do you love the Jews?" And I was like, "Well, as I just said, you know, it is a complex question." But he was like, "Do you love the Jews?" And eventually I just acted out. I said, "What is this repeating of question? I need to go now. This is a crap show." And I left. I disconnected. It was hilarious. A good moment with Jesse D. Peterson. Anyways, you know, I'm a Canadian. I cannot even answer no legally to your question. So why do you ask it? Like, I am bound by law to love the Jew. I love the Jew like you don't murder people or like you don't commit rape. I love Jews. I love them. I love them as much as you love not committing rape. You can't stop doing it. Brother, oh yeah, I wanted to talk about the scanner I just bought. You know, I've been suffering so much. I can't believe that I'm doing all this free publicity for everything I buy. And it's like most creators, they would ask a payment for it. I don't get paid by Brother, of course. This is not a paid advertisement. but I bought this scanner, ADS-1250W, wireless compact desktop scanner. I've suffered so much in my life buying those multifunction fax scanner, email sender, USB stick, plus printer, plus inkjet, plus, and they don't do anything of these things good. So at this point, I've converged toward my life in one thing. I want the best printer. I want a printer that is top, not top in the sense of costing a lot, but top in the sense of functioning properly. And I want a top scanner, and I want them at a reasonable price for $299. The Brother ADS-1250W, I've just passed a couple of pages in it. It is super fast. It is super compact. So it's not like these gigantic glass, you know, the printer that has a scanner on top of it with the glass and then a scanner with the slide. This one just does the scanner with the slide, and it does it well, and it does the two-sided very quick. I'm super happy with it. But I don't know if it will last. Will it be still good in many years? For now, it seems to be performing so quick that it does seem that it's a high-quality thing. So now I can tell you, buy the ADS-1250W, and then buy the HL8360CDW for your printer needs. And by the way, with this one, you can buy ink, infinite ink fillings, so you never get to pay for the official ink cartridges. And this one, you know, unlike the inkjet printers, you don't use them for 2 months, they go bad. You use them too much for a week, they go bad. And eventually they don't work at all. Now, this laser printer, you use it, you don't use it, whatever you do with it, it keeps working because there's no drying of the ink channels because it's laser, so it's a powder. Man, I've reached happiness and I can die. I have a functioning scanner with good software, super easy. I launched the scan and the scanner started doing voo, 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 one page after the other, and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Normally, I had to go place my page. And then I have to run to my computer and then click add file, turn the page. This scanner today, I put a document of like 7 pages in it. And it did like, shoo, 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 shoo. Holy shit, I'm happy. Finally, life is turning to be good. Velvi says, JF, a right-handed blue-eyed man marries a right-handed brown-eyed woman. They have 2 children, one left-handed and brown-eyed, and the other right-handed and blue-eyed. Blue-eyed, by a later marriage with another woman who is also right-handed and brown-eyed, this man has 9 children, all of whom are right-handed and brown-eyed. What are the genotypes of this man and his 2 wives? Thanks for the troll question here, but I'm not doing this calculation. It sounds like one of these questions just meant to make me work intellectually. And I'm getting too old. Fuck your question. I know it's an ask me anything, but not this, sir. Not this. Lawrence Forbes says, change of topic for this. Ask me anything. Is it true if one loses their hardware wallet, they can simply buy another one and use their seed phrase to access their crypto again? Absolutely, it is true. So your hardware wallet is one form of interacting with the blockchain. It contains your private key in a relatively accessible fashion, generally just blocked by a NIP. So a personal number that you have to click on, which unlocks your access to the private key. But alternatively, your seed phrase is also giving you access to recreating that private key from just the information of the seed phrase. So absolutely, from a seed phrase, you can buy another. If your hardware wallet burns or explodes or is not good anymore, you just buy another of the same kind, and you will be able to restore your full private key onto this new hardware wallet. Now, you don't have to buy another one if you don't want to do it. Generally, the seed phrases that are used by hardware wallets are capable of being used on some software. All you have to do is find a software, a Bitcoin software, that can understand the seed phrase. Because sometimes your hardware wallet may use 24 words. Well, you need a software of Bitcoin that can understand a 24-word passphrase. Sometimes your hardware wallet may have been set on 12 words. Then you need a wallet that understands the 12-word sequences. But generally, the hardware wallets are using an importable and fully common type of encoding so that an alternative software will allow you to restore your access to your own Bitcoin wallet, even if you don't have the hardware anymore. White sends $101 and holy shit, is he generous tonight. He says, JF, do you still have that recording that guy made of what he thinks my name is? Wah, wah, wah. That was so funny. Obviously not how my name's pronounced. Yes, I'm happy that you're back so that we can confirm. I can play it. I think if I search it in my... Well, how could I find it? As attachment... It was an email that I've received within the last few... I don't know exactly when I received that. I think it may be this. Okay.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Whoa, whoa, whoa!
What the fuck does this guy think? The guy actually sent me a recording to say, JF, you're not saying white correctly. That's how you have to say it.
Sometimes I wonder...
There are these low IQ random people just listening to this show, no one to guide them in life, and they probably understand everything incorrectly. They don't understand what's going on. They don't even understand what I'm trying to tell them. Like, this guy truly believes that white wants to be called wah wah wah. That makes zero sense. Silver Spider sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, hey, JF, you talked a while ago about how amazing breast milk is, and I agree. Have you ever heard of this woman? How is this even possible? A mom who does insane pumping skills. Amelia Boomker is a mom of four who has nourished thousands of children, even as she had trouble breastfeeding her own. Boomker has just set the World Guinness record for breast milk donation by giving 16,300 fluid ounces of milk, more than 127 gallons, to the Indiana Mother's Milk Bank in Indianapolis between 2008 and 2013. That's the breast milk equivalent of 816 venti lattes at Starbucks. Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that much. Indeed, we have females have this whole equipment just to produce. And so, yes, if you stimulate them correctly, they should produce milk. And the stimulation is essentially a set of sensory detection mechanism that some child is pumping and that the milk is getting somewhere. That's all that a breast needs. And, you know, there are tricks to facilitate lactation, like there are recipes. There's a couple of things you can eat, apparently, that facilitates it, or that facilitates relactating when you've taken a pause for it. But totally viable, and it's fine that she produces all this. I mean, it's a main function of the female to provide the nutrients for a baby. It's amazing what breast milk does. It can feed a baby for 6 months just on this. That's actually the recommendation of doctors. No water, no nothing, just breast milk. It's amazing that it has this equilibrium to it, that a child has literally no other nutritional needs for 6 months in their first 6 months of life. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know anything that compares, really. I don't know anything that compares to breast milk. Breaking, Elon Musk says he wanted to punch Ye in the face, credits Alex Jones for trying to rein him in. That's one thing that I had. Silver Spider says they recommend 2 years now. Well, not 2 years of just breast milk. 6 months of just breast milk, and then 2 years where there's a transition and you introduce them to foods while also continuing breast milk. I just wanted to talk about this because among all the things that annoyed me yesterday in the Twitter space of Elon Musk, I had actually forgotten that one. And it's a very important one. Elon Musk tried to make a joke, but that joke revealed his misunderstanding of the danger of having personal judgments about everything related to Twitter censorship. And the big problem of him just being the dictator of who comes back to Twitter and who doesn't. Because he said when in that Twitter space, when trying to justify banning Ye, he said he has advocated for violence. He failed at acknowledging he failed at acknowledging that it wasn't advocating for violence, that the post was featuring a rallying symbol and not a Nazi one. And on top of it, he said, you know, when I saw that tweet from Ye, I wanted to punch him in the face. And so, therefore, it was incitement to violence. That was the joke part. I think it's a joke, of course, because he wanted to punch Kanye. And so that would be a tweet that incites to violence. But here's the problem, Elon. How is your little joke there not incitement to violence? You are saying that when someone tweets the Rylian symbol, you want to punch them, and you... Someone could see your claim there as being an approval of violence against Raelian people. So why is it that you won't be banned from Twitter for making that joke, but that Ye, who merely published this religious symbol, this protected religious symbol in Canada, why is he being banned from Twitter? All of this to say, Elon Musk's performance on the Twitter space was horrible. We basically have a child at the head of internet free speech right now, and it's scaring me. Some random bloke says, "Hey Jeff, I love both yours and Adam Green's shows. Unfortunately, both of you are on the same time. I am switching back and forth between you two." Okay, well, I'm going to mess with your brain and I'm going to start talking about Jewish gematria and how the Third Temple is the main project. And I'm going to start doing everything that No More News does so that you don't even know on which side you are. White says, "JF," and he sends again these generous super chats. He says, "JF, one time when I was donating $101 to hear you pronounce the white sounds in 101, someone said I should donate $1,001 to hear you say the white sounds in that number. I just wanted to let you know that on Odyssey you can't donate more than 1,000 at a time. I know because I tried to donate 3,000 to Sven from TRS and had to break it up into smaller donations." Well, what an amazing donation, White. Thank you so much for your super chats. It's good to know. I didn't know because I've seen some enormous super chat. I think Jan one time sent me something like 1,000. And so it's good to know that it's the limit. I didn't know. I take no issue with this limit. Of course, I think a $1,000 super chat is super generous. But at the same time, it would be good for your free expression. If I understand correctly, you would want Odyssey to at least allow up to 1,002 so that you get the chance to use the one here from an expressive purpose, not for the amount of money itself. I don't know, maybe I can talk to Odyssey and get them to unlock it to 1,002. I do want, I would be interested in receiving that kind of super chat. "Air bases deep inside Russia, rocked by explosions, new wave of airstrikes pummel Ukraine." And apparently Russia has already started responding to these. "One of the Russian bases, truck, reportedly hosts nuclear-capable strategic bombers being utilized in airstrikes on Ukrainian energy infrastructure." The Ukrainians are going deeper and deeper into Russia in terms of strike. It seems, though, that it was a minor strike and that it may have been done with drones and seems to have done mostly superficial damage, not major damage. "New fentanyl vaccine claims to end the opioid addiction with mind control. Scientists unveiled a new vaccine they say will end fentanyl addiction." I don't think it's fair to present this as mind control. It's a vaccine. At this point, the term vaccine doesn't apply. It's a medication that is meant to make it so that the drug doesn't reach your brain. And it does so by playing on the brain-blood barrier, I think, if I'm correct. Yeah, it prevents the opioids from entering the brain. You're gonna have a lot of users of fentanyl very pissed if you give them this. They're not going to be able to have the relief from the fentanyl anymore. Now, it may work, I don't know. We'll see if that works. In general, I think fentanyl users are very hard to save from themselves. So I don't entertain major hopes here. But maybe it will work. And finally, as a last news item, the MSNBC liberal analyst complained that Hunter Biden Twitter story was a snooze fest, M for meh, There is not one single article about Elon Musk or the Twitter email release last night on New York Times app this morning. So basically, liberals are acting like the Elon Musk release is not major at all, not important, and it's just old news. That's in fact what the White House correspondent Karine Jean-Pierre stated. It's old news. Well, it's not old news to see what was happening from inside the Twitter team. Of course, it's old news to say that they have censored the Hunter Biden story, but to see their hesitations, to see them realize just how dishonest their stuff was, to see them ask questions like, could we plausibly claim that this is true? It's very interesting, and it's an insight level that definitely wasn't available before. But of course, the liberals say it's a snooze fest, but it's just because ultimately they believe that those acts of censorship were good because it advantaged their side. White sends $350. Thank you so much, bro. He says, he did pay for my scanner, my printer, my fax machine. I'm getting equipped here. I'm going to have everything to create and print thanks to White. Definitely that covers the scanner I bought and I received. I received it today, actually. He says, people can pay $20 a month to get access to private Patreon Hangout. Pff, I'm not paying for that. That's so expensive. Who would pay $20 a month for anything? That's $240 a year. Think what you could buy with that money instead. Do you think we're made of money? Oh my God, White, what a hilarious intervention there. Who, in a single super chat, would be able to pay for 1 year and a half of the $20 membership on Patreon. And amazingly, White does not ask for membership. He just likes to interact with me with the super chat system. Well, thank you so much. And is it abusive to ask for $20 for the private Patreon hangout? My view on this is anyone can talk to me anytime. At times, there are people who have DM'd me. They said, Jeff, I would like to talk to you, but I don't have money. All right, I'll take you for free, you know. And other times they're like, Jeff, I want to talk to you, and I'm ready to pay you $100 for 10 minutes. So I accept everyone, and the fact is I take my job on the internet as an honor, and I consider that it's such an honor to be able to deliver my thoughts on an every night basis to you guys, that if there's time during the day that I can give, I will give it. I will give it to the community, and I will counsel people if they want to counsel. So the $20 Patreon hangout is not an obligatory thing, and there's always a way you can get me and talk to me through other means if you don't have the money. Some random bloke says, big shout out to White. JF, I can only contribute $3 measly dollars. Hope it helps. Of course it does. In fact, we're doing so well. I'm not worried at all about the stability of the show. We're still rolling on 2017 money. So we are in advance on, I pay my bills in advance. Like, I try to guess how much electricity I'm going to use for the next 3 months, and I pay the electricity bills of the future. That's just how good we're doing. I'm like, okay, I'd like not to hear about this bill for 6 months. I'm going to pay for 6 months in advance. Bye-bye, everyone. It was a pleasure talking to you guys tonight, and I'll see you all tomorrow.